Shear is on Parsha's bow. The title of the shear tonight is Showing Respect to a Murderous Paro. Tonight we're going to look at a couple of interesting Rashis based on some Midrashim, where he talks about the concept of demonstrating kavod for the Malchus, kavod for Paro. So we're going to try to analyze that, try to understand why that's the case. So let's look in source number one. We'll start with Shmos Perek Yud Aleph. We'll start with our Parsha, and then there's other cases of this idea, this concept, in other places in the Torah. So it starts with Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Ches. So it says Moshe is forecasting to Paro what's going to happen with Makas Bechoros. And he says afterwards, V'yardu chol avadecha eila eilai v'yishtachavu li leimor, Se ata v'chol am asher v'raglecha v'acharichin eitze v'yitzeim im Paro b'chari af. So Moshe says to Paro that after everything's over with, after Makas Bechoros, all of your servants are going to come out and they're going to basically kick us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. And afterwards it says that Moshe left Paro in anger. V'yitzeim im Paro b'chari af. So the idea of the pasuk again is that Moshe is forecasting that eventually the Mitzrayim are going to ask the Jews to leave, to leave Mitzrayim after Makas Bechoros. And if you look in source number two, in Rashi, he says something interesting. He says, V'yardu chol avadecha, that all of your avadim, meaning all your servants, Paro's servants, are going to come to the Jews and tell us to leave. It says, Chol kavod l'malchus. So Moshe was demonstrating kavod, respect, to the king. Sharei besof yard Paro ba'atzmo, elov balayla. Because in the end, Paro himself went to go kick the Jews out of Mitzrayim. As it says, Moshe, when he was forecasting, predicting the future, and telling him b'nevuah what was going to happen, he doesn't say to Paro that you're going to go tell us to leave. He says your servants will go tell us to leave. So why does he not mention the idea that Paro himself will come down and come to the Jewish people and ask them to leave? He was showing some type of respect to Paro by not denigrating him and saying that he's going to have to lower himself and ask the Jews to leave. And that's how Rashi interprets this idea of kavod l'malchus. And if you look in source number three, the psukim that Rashi quotes in reality are that Paro himself did go. Because if you look in source number three, it's Shmos Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph, also in our Parsha. It says, Vayikra l'Moshe l'Aaron l'Ayla, Vayomer kumu tzu mitoch ami, gamatem gamene yishar l'chu ibdu asad Hashem, kedaber chem. It says that Paro went to Moshe and Aaron in the middle of the night, and he said, "Leave and go worship Hashem, like you've mentioned." And Rashi over there says, in source number four, "Vayikra l'Moshe l'Aaron Laila, Magid shaya mechazer al pischei ha'ir v'tzoek, Heichan Moshe sharoi, Heichan Aaron sharoi." So Paro himself was running in the city in Goshen, and he was looking for Aaron and Moshe, and he was calling out and screaming. And he says, "Go, leave. Gama tam agvarim, the males, gam bnei Yisrael, even the children. Luchu ibdu Hashem k'dabrachem. Hakol kemosha amartem. Everything that you asked me, go and do. Velo kemosha amarti ani. Not like I've said. Batel lo eshlach. So nullify when I said, don't go. You can't leave. Batel miva mihalchem. Also nullify the idea that I was trying to distinguish who can go. And batel raktonachem v'karchem yitzog. And also be mevatel, nullify the idea that I was." That you couldn't take your cattle. Raksonachem karachem yitzog. So the idea over here, up to this point, in source number one, we were showing that, and source number two, that there's a concept that Moshe didn't want to tell Paro that Paro himself was going to end up asking the Jews to leave, and instead he kind of hides that idea, and he says instead that your servants are going to come. So the question that Rashi has is why, and he says, Chala kavod l'malchus, that he was trying to demonstrate some type of respect for Paro by not mentioning the fact that he himself was ultimately going to come to the Jews and come to Moshe and Aaron and ask them to leave. So obviously the question is, what kind of idea is it? What's the concept of showing respect to Paro, kavod l'malchus? And if you look further on, just to strengthen that, if you look in source number 9, it says, Vayomer melech mitzrayim l'mialdo sevrios asher shem achashif rav shem ashenis puah. That in Parsha Shemos, it says that Paro told the midwives, Shifra and Puah, Vayomer bialchen sevrios, or he sent all of Naim, and bein hu v'amiteno sov in basi v'chaya. He says to kill all the male Jewish children. So how could there be an idea that Hashem is telling Moshe to demonstrate some type of respect for Paro even though Paro was a murderer, I mean, he was killing Jewish babies. Paro was a murderous king. And yet, there seems to be an idea mentioned in Rashi, in our Parsha, that Moshe was supposed to be chalak kavod l'malchus, demonstrate some type of respect for the malchus. So what kind of idea is that? What kind of concept is it that you have an evil king like Paro, and yet there is still an idea of showing him respect, demonstrating respect to him? So that's our question of this year. And lest you think that our Parsha is the only place where Rashi mentions this concept, it's actually mentioned in a bunch of places. It's from the Medrash. But another place he mentions it, Rashi, is in Shmos Parakei, look in source number 5. It says the same thing. V'achar ba'u Moshe v'aron v'yomru el paro ko amar Hashem el kei Yisrael shalach esamiv yachogu li ba'midbar. So Moshe and Aaron go to Paro, and of course they say to Paro, let us go, send our nation away, so that we can serve Hashem in the desert. V'yomru Paro miyad Hashem asher eshma v'kolo l'shalach es Yisrael lo yadati es ad Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo ashaleach. So Paro refuses, and he says, I don't know this God. Vayomru, Elokei Vrim Nikra Alina Nilchana, Derek Shulshis Yamimba Mivarvin is Bechal Hashem Elokinu, Pen Yifka Inu, Badever O Becharev. And then they respond, Moshe and Aaron respond to Paro, that we need to go and travel 3 days in the desert in order to bring Korbanos to Hashem, lest a strike befall us with Dever, with pestilence, or with sword. So what's interesting is Pen Yifka Inu, lest something strike us or fall upon us. So Yifka Enu, look at Rashi in source number 6. He says, Pen Yifka Enu, Pen Yifgacha Yutzrichim Lomar. They should have said, lest, you know, maybe Hashem will strike you if you don't let us go. But they say, we'll strike us. Ela Shechalku Kavod L'malchus. Pegia Zu Lashon Mikra Mavasi. So Pegia is death. It means death. So again, when Moshe is addressing Paro, he addresses him in a respectful way. He doesn't say to Paro that Hashem is going to strike you down, he's going to kill you. But he says he's going to kill us. But there's an idea that Paro is supposed to recognize that he's alluding to Paro himself, not to the Jews, obviously. But still, Rashi says that the reason why Moshe changes the Lashon and doesn't address Paro directly is in order to demonstrate kavod, respect to the Melech, to Paro. So obviously the question again, what's this idea of respecting the king, respecting this murderous king of Paro who's killing Jewish babies? Why are we showing respect to this person? So we saw two places, our Parsha and Shmos in Parakeh, two places where Rashi points out the same concept, that when Moshe is addressing Paro, when he's talking to him, he has to be very careful in terms of demonstrating respect for Paro. So why did he have to demonstrate respect for Paro? So this idea isn't just an idea by Paro, it's also mentioned by Yosef and Yaakov. So if you look in source number 7, again, this is a theme in Rashi. He says in Breishis Parak Mem Ches, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Vayhi acharei hadvarem o'ele, vayomer li Yosef, hinei avicha chole, vayikach eshnei vanav imo, es minashev es Ephraim. So after Yosef hears that Yaakov is sick, and he brings his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, to Yaakov. And in Pasuk Beis, it says, Vayagil Yaakov, vayomer hinei bencha Yosef ba'ilecha, vayischazek Yisrael vayeshev alamita. So what happens is that they tell Yaakov that Yosef is coming, and Yaakov tries to get up and sits up at the edge of the bed. So Rashi says over there, look in source number 8, Vayaged hamaged li Yaakov v'lo pirish mi, v'harbe mikros kitre lashon. So nobody said, it doesn't say openly who told Yaakov that Yosef was coming, but nevertheless it says, Vayischazek Yisrael, Amar afal pishu b'ni, even though he's my son, melechu, v'achlok lo kavod. Since he's a king, I'm going to show him kavod, I'm going to show him respect. Mikan shecholkin kavod l'malchus, this is the source for the idea that we always demonstrate respect for Malchus. The Chain Moshe Chalak Kavod L'Malchus. So he brings down all the Rashis that he mentioned, that we saw before, in Bo and in Shemos. It says that Moshe demonstrated Kavod to the Malchus. It says, V'yardu Chal V'decha Elei Eli. That was the first pasuk that we quoted in our Parsha. That he's careful, Moshe's careful when he speaks to Paro, not to say that Paro himself is going to ask the Jews to leave, rather his servants, in order to demonstrate a kavod, a respect to Paro. And also, V'chein Eliyahu, V'yishanes Masnav, we're going to see this in the Gemara, but Eliyahu also, when he was dealing with Achav, it says that he ran towards him, so he was trying to show him some type of respect, even though Achav was an evil king. So again, the question is, how is there an idea, a theme of showing respect to a king? And it's one thing to show respect to a Jewish king like Yosef or somebody who's on a high level, but to show respect to somebody who's a killer, who's a murderer of babies like Paro, or by Achav, who was a Rasha, You know, how come there is an idea, a philosophical good, in demonstrating kavod to these individuals? So that's the question. Okay? So I want the people on the phone lines to help out. We'll just do this Gemara, and then we'll try to come up with an idea. But in the back of your heads, just try to think of a concept, an idea to explain why there would be a philosophical purpose to demonstrating kavod l'malchus, even though the person's evil. So if you look in the Gemara, we'll get into this this Gemara a little bit. It's a short Gemara, and it's actually in a continuation of a Gemara that we did a couple weeks ago on Moshe getting angry, that Hashem getting angry at Moshe for not wanting to accept being the shliach of Hashem and taking the Jews out. So if you continue on in that Gemara in source number 10, we didn't do this part, but look in source number 10. It's Zvachim Kuf Beis Amar Aleph, and I'll read through the Gemara. It says, V'chol charon af shebetorah namar bo roshem. So the Gemara asked the question. They wanted to say before, when we did this a couple weeks ago, that when Hashem gets angry at Moshe for not accepting the shlichus, is that the only place in the Torah where there's no consequence to the anger? And we tried to explain that a couple weeks ago, how really Moshe was perfected and his humility was the source of this refusal. But the Gemara asked the question, is that really the only place? V'haksiv, v'yitze Moshe im paro b'chariyaf. V'lo amrle, v'lo midi. It says that Moshe left from Paro in anger, and then there's nothing after that point. There's nothing said in the psukim. So that's an example of charon af, of anger without a consequence. So there's another example. So the Gemara is questioning the possibility that there's only one case where there's anger without a consequence. Here's another case, which is in our parsha, our first source, where Moshe leaves Paro in anger, and there's no consequence after. So the Gemara answers, v'amareish lakish, sitaro v'yetzeh. So he says no, that he slapped him in the face and he left. So that's his answer. So no, there was a consequence. The consequence to Moshe's anger was that... What did you say?
What do you mean anger without consequence? Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that...
I mean, I thought that was only like what I said that was going
to be. No, it's also even... Well, we saw that a couple weeks ago, but even the Gemara tries to bring proofs even from people, from Moshe. So here's an example from a person... where there's anger written in the Torah, but there's no follow-up to the anger. So that's what the Gemara is just trying to bring a raya. It's a good question, but the Gemara is trying to bring a raya that there's other cases in the Torah where anger is expressed in the Torah and it's described, but there's no consequence. So the answer in the Gemara is, no, there was a consequence. Look at source number 11, Rashi, Sitaro, Hikol Alachyav. So he slapped him across the face, basically. So Moshe slapped Paro, and that was the consequence of the anger. So it's a funny thing that Moshe could get away with that, but Moshe slapped Paro. So it says, the Gemara, keep going in the Gemara. Look, we're going to get to the main point over here. It says, Umi Amar Reish Lakish Achi. How could Reish Lakish say this, that Moshe slapped Paro? The Haksiv, it says, V'nitzavta likraso asfasa yor. When Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron to greet Paro, he says to go stand by the Yor, by the river, where Paro, there's that whole medrash that Paro used to go to the bathroom early in the morning, and Aaron and Moshe were supposed to approach him there. The Amar Reish Lakish, Melechu v'hisbir lo panim. So Reish Lakish says over there that Hashem instructed Moshe and Aaron to stand, v'nitzavta likraso, to stand and show him respect, show him countenance, because he's a king. V'Rab Yochanan Amar Rashahu v'heiz panechabo. And Rav Yochanan says the other way. Rav Yochanan says that really Paro was a Rasha, and act insolently towards him. Don't show him respect. So Eifach, so the Gemara says, flip the Shitas. Reish Lakish is the one who holds that because Paro was a Rasha, you don't have to show him respect. You can speak insolently towards him. And Rav Yochanan is the one who holds the opposite, that even though Paro was a Rasha, there's still an idea of being Chole Kavo L'Malchus, of demonstrating respect to the Melech, to the king. So look at source number 11, just Rashi. Hisbir lo panem v'hainu v'nitzavta likraso l'fig dulaso hachon likraso. So one approaches, v'nitzavta, means to stand up. It's a sign of showing respect. That's what Rashi says. So v'nitzavta likraso l'fig dulaso, based on his greatness, hachon likraso, prepare yourself towards him. And he is bo panecha, but the other side says, hayinu v'nitzavta likraso l'milchama l'davar azus. V'nitzavta means to prepare yourself to fight with him and to be brazen with him. Okay, so the Gemara has two possibilities. So now we have a machlokes. So before we saw that Rashi says that whenever Moshe approached Paro, there was always an idea of kavod, of demonstrating respect. But now we see in the Gemara that there's really two opinions. One opinion holds that really Moshe didn't act respectfully towards Paro. In fact, he slaps him when he leaves him. And because Paro was a Rasha, which is kind of what we said, Paro was a murderous king. He killed Jewish babies, so how could Moshe respect him? But the other side says no, that there's still an idea of Moshe demonstrating respect to him, and God even instructs him when he says, V'nitzavta likroso, to demonstrate that respect. So what is the source, what is the basis for this machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Why would you say that you shouldn't demonstrate respect to the king versus demonstrating respect towards the king? Okay, and then it keeps going. One second, go back to Rashi. Oh, so then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yanai, La'olam tehe emas malchus alecha. So Rav Yanai says, back in the Gemara, in source number 10, Rav Yanai says, a person should always have the fear of a king upon them. Dichsiv, as it says, the yardu chol avadecha ele elai, it says that your servants will all come down to me. This is the first pasuk, the first source in our shir. The ilu l'dide lo kamarle, he didn't say it to Paro directly, that you're going to come, which is the same idea we saw before. So this is brought down in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan amar mehacha. So Rav Yochanan has another source. V'yad Hashem haisa el Eliyahu v'yishanes masna v'yarat lifnei Achav. So Eliyahu runs before Achav, even though Achav was a terrible king. So Eliyahu shows him respect. So go to Rashi, source number 11. It says, V'il l'didei lo kamar le, v'irata elai v'yishtachav isa li leimor, v'afa gav demaskana havi, hachi hava dechseh v'yikra l'moshe l'aron laila v'yomar kumu. Even though in the end, the reality was that Paro himself went to the Jews to tell him to leave. But Moshe was hiding that and being secretive in order to demonstrate a kavod and to demonstrate yiras hamalchus, the fear and awe of the king. So it says, "Vayarat lifnei Achav." Last Rashi, Achav rochi v'hu ratz lefanav she Achav yichidi v'lav orach ara. So Eliyahu demonstrated respect by running before Achav, who was a terrible king. So it's another raya for this idea. So again, so it sounds like the Gemara is paskening or holding, based on Rav Yanai's statement, that really you should demonstrate kavod to the king, and that's kind of what Rashi says, chal kavod l'malchus, based on this Gemara. But yet, there's still machlokas. Should a Jew, a good Jewish person, demonstrate a kavod, a respect to an evil king, to a terrible king, a murderous king? Why would you say yes, and why would you say not? So those are the two questions. Okay? So one last, just let's do a Marsha in source number 12, and then we'll get to the Svara, to the idea on how to explain this machlokas and give some insight into Rashi on the Torah and our Parsha. So the Marsha says in source number 12, just on our Gemara, he says, Amar Reish Lakish is Taro V'yatza, Yesh L'daktek Demashma Avze Nemar Bo Roshem, Hainush Nemar Mefurash Bekra. So his question is, the Gemara is trying to bring a proof that this is a consequence, but it's not written in the Torah that Moshe slapped Paro. So how is this a raya, a proof that there's no consequence in this, that there was a consequence in this case? It's not written down. So he says, Kamasha Kasav Leel, Vehechan Mefurash, the Haroshim Betorah. Where is it written in the Torah that Moshe slapped him? It's not written. The Avshar Mishum Kvodo Shel Melech Lo Pirsimo Akasav Shestaro. So he wants to say that the Torah even hid the fact that Moshe punched or slapped Paro in the face because of Kavod HaMalchus. So it's a funny Marsha, but even the Marsha saying, even the side that holds that he was allowed to act insolently towards him and he slapped him, even that saying that the Torah tries to hide it in order to demonstrate kavod to Paro, kavod to an evil king. So what is that? What kind of idea is that? Strange. He's an evil person. And then last point here, look. Melech hu v'hesber, meperish rashi nira de travayu darish, milashon likroso. They both learn out from the same pasuk. V'o nira lefarish l'man da'amar heyiz panecha bo darish le v'nitzavta. Nitzavta, the word nitzavta, also means the mashon nitzav l'riv. It means preparing to fight. K'masha kasav, kol makom shenamar nitzim nitzavim, hainu dasan v'aviram. Whenever it says nitzim and nitzavim, it's always dasan v'aviram. So the side that holds that Moshe was acting or speaking insolently towards Paro is learning from the same pasuk of nitzavta. So what's the idea here? What's the concept? So does anybody want to attempt a possibility or an approach to answer? Why would you say that you should give kavod to the king, even though he's evil, versus saying that you shouldn't give kavod to the king? All right, so that's the question here. So look at source. Let's look at source number 13, and it'll open up an avenue for us to give an idea, a possibility. So in source number 13, it says as follows: It's the Gemara Brachos, Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. And it says, Haroah Malchai Yisrael Omer Baruch Shechalak Michvodo Li'Reyav. When you see a Jewish king, you're supposed to make a bracha. And the bracha is that Hashem, he gave some of his kavod to those who fear him. He gave some of his kavod to those who fear him. Malchei Umos Olam, and if you see a non-Jewish king, Omer, you still make a bracha. Baruch Shenasan Michvodo Lebasar Adam. So you say that blessed is he who gave some of his kavod to a human being, to a basar adam, not even Li'Reyav, not to someone who fears him, but to a human being. So there's a bracha that you make when you see a king, a Jewish king, and there's a bracha that you make when you see a non-Jewish king. And the bracha, both brachas are similar except for the last word. By a Jewish king, you say Li'Reyav to those who fear him, to fear Hashem, and by a non-Jewish king, you say Shenasan Mechvodo Lebasar Adam, to blessed is Hashem who gave some of his kavod to basar adam, to human beings. So what is the idea here? What's the concept? Why do we make a bracha when we see a melech that's a non-Jewish melech? And maybe this will help us in terms of why we give kavod to an evil king. So I think obviously the idea of the move is, in this shir, is that when you see malchus in this world, in our world, there's some connection, there's an immediate connection between our malchus, the malchus of human beings, and the malchus of Hashem. And we even recognize in the bracha that even though they're really a king, there's a Melech Yisrael and a Melech of the Gayim, but even so, we recognize that the ultimate Melech is God, and only because God privileged gave this person this respect, this Malchus, only that's the only reason why he's Melech, but there's no reality to the Malchus of this individual relative to Hashem's Malchus. Hashem is the true Melech. But you see that whenever a person interacts with royalty, there's a connection in his mind, a natural connection between the royalty that we encounter in this world and the royalty of Hashem. And even though the royalty of Hashem is far greater and qualitatively distinct, but still there's some element of, there's some reality, there's some connection between the two, and maybe it's for humans to, you know, we can't perceive it completely, obviously, because we're talking about Hashem, but there is some element of Malchus in this world that is somehow helpful in terms of our understanding of Malchus Hashem. Okay, so that's the first step in answering the Machlokas. So the main step or the main idea is that really Malchus in this world is connected to Malchus Hashem. And the way we react or interact with royalty affects our perception of Malchus Hashem. So maybe the questions by Paro and by an evil king, maybe that question flows from this idea of making a bracha. So the question over there by Paro is that on the one hand, if you don't demonstrate respect to a king, let's say you did one shita, like Reish Lakish holds that Moshe slapped Paro. So one side holds that really that's inappropriate. You have to demonstrate kavod to the Malchus. Why? Because if you don't demonstrate kavod to the Malchus, even though he's an evil king, it's going to affect psychologically, mentally, it's going to affect your view of God's Malchus in a negative way. Because you're really turning away from authority, you're not really accepting authority, and even though the king is evil, even though it's a murderous king, but because there's an intrinsic connection in a person's mind between Malchus in this world and Malchus Hashem, so because of that, if you don't act respectfully, and if you don't have Yiras HaMalchus, it's going to affect your ability to have Kavod LeMalchus Hashem and Yiras Malchus Hashem. So that's one side. So one side holds that even though a king is evil, but we have to recognize that our minds connect Malchios of this world to Malchios of Hashem, and because of that, we have to demonstrate respect. We have to demonstrate Yira. Because if we don't demonstrate respect and we don't demonstrate Yira, so then it'll taint our ability to really respect Hashem and kavod Malchios for Hashem. But the other side holds no. The other side holds that man can differentiate between the two. And when a person's a Vadai Rasha, so man is able to separate the two and not have his insolence towards Malchus affect his perception of Hashem and affect him negatively in terms of that perception. So I think that's the Machlokas in the Gemara. The Machlokas in the Gemara and the idea that Rashi's saying is that demonstrating respect, kavod l'malchus, even if the melech is a Rasha, is an idea of that man is naturally, intrinsically connected in his mind, the Malchus of this world, to the Malchus of Hashem. And when you think of royalty, when you interact with royalty, it's impossible for the way you react to royalty in this world not to affect your perception of God's royalty. So if you're insolent towards a melech, if you're not respectful of the melech, it's going to affect your ability to understand and respect Malchus Hashem. So one side saying that, therefore, you always have to accept, or you always have to demonstrate kavod l'malchios, even if the person's evil. Because it's not about the person. It's about your ability to respect the true melech. So if you disrespect an evil king, even if they're evil, it's still going to affect your ability to respect God's kingship and to understand God's kingship. Whereas the other side says, no, that human beings are capable of dichotomizing, and we're able to, especially in this case of an evil king, we're able to show the difference, the distinction in man's mind between the malchios of Hashem and the malchios of an Adam, and you can disrespect the king in a way where it doesn't affect your philosophical perception of Hashem's malchios. And I'll just try to just explain that a little more. I mean, sometimes Hashem acts in a way where it's disruptive to us, where we can perceive it in a negative way. And like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, for example. So sometimes we understand that it's justice, but it seems to us it would be perceived as negative, as a ra, as an evil or a negative, even though in reality it's not. So if we disrespect the king because of evil, so perhaps it'll affect our ability to respect God's malchios even in the face of something that's negative, of experiencing something negative. So one side saying you always have to demonstrate kavod l'malchios in order to have the proper idea of Malchios Hashem. And the other side saying, no, that really man's an evil king, a man can dichotomize from God, and he can disrespect an evil king in a way where it won't taint his ability to understand Malchios Hashem and always respect God's Malchios. So I think that's the Machlokas. And that's why you make a bracha. Well, we paskin that you do show kavod l'malchios, even though they're non-Jewish. And in fact, that's why the Gemara in Brachos says that we make a bracha. Because on the one hand, we recognize that we're naturally connected, our idea of Malchios in this world is connected to our concept of God's kingship. But on the other hand, we have to use it as a means of really understanding God's kingship on a higher level. So ultimately, it's all about Malchios Hashem, but Malchios in this world is like a stepping stone to understanding Malchios Hashem. So that explains the Machlokas in our Gemara, whether or not a person can act in a negative way and disrespect the king, and yet it not taint his ability to understand God's Malchios. That's the question. Okay? So there's one other idea here as a natural progression from the idea of Kavod Malchios. The Gemara in Brachos goes on, and there's an interesting story about Rav Sheshes. So this also fits into our stories from the Gemara category too. But there's a very fascinating story here. So there's one other idea to understanding Kavod L'Malchios, even to a non-Jewish king. So it says, look in source number 13, it's the end of the first line. It says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'olam yishtadel adam l'aretz likras malchei Yisrael. A person should always try to run towards a Jewish king. L'lo likras malchei Yisrael bilvad, not just towards a Jewish king, ela afil likras malchei umos olam, even to a non-Jewish king. So why should you run in order to greet a non-Jewish king? Because if you merit, you should be able to distinguish between a melech of the Jews and a melech of the other nations. So look at Rashi. Look in source number 14. It says, if you're zoche to olam haba, v'yir b'chavon melech mashiach, and if you somehow get the privilege of seeing the respect afforded to the Melech HaMashiach, Yavchin, you'll be able to distinguish Kama Yasar Kavod Notle Schar Mitzvos Yosar Mimash Haya Kavod Ha'umos Ba'olam Hazeh. You'll be able to see the difference between the Kavod that's given to the other nations in this world and those who receive Schar for the Mitzvos they've done. Strange Rashi. So this is different than the Brach idea. This is a totally separate idea. In fact, the Gemara, the Mefarshim, Achronim say that you're not Chayev to greet a non-Jewish king, to make the bracha. But this is a philosophical point. It's not a chiyah. It's not an obligation. But what's the idea? What's the benefit? What does Rashi mean that you're going to be able to distinguish between Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Umos Olam? What's he talking about? Melech Mashiach? So why should we run to greet a non-Jewish king, just like a Jewish king? Why should we? What's the idea over there? And then let's go to the story, and then we'll get to the idea, the concept. Rav Sheshes Sagi Nar Hava. So Rav Sheshes was blind. Hava ka'azli kule alma li kabule ape malika. So the whole world, or his whole community was gathering together to greet the king. It's not clear who the king was at that point. They come azel b'hadayi Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes went along. Even though he was blind, but he went to go greet the king. Ashkeche Ahumina, this heretic, came across Rav Sheshes, Amar Leh, and he said to Rav Sheshes, Chatzvi l'nahara kigani laya. So he made a negative comment. He said, the intact jugs go to the river. Where do the broken jugs go? Meaning, you're a broken jug, you're blind. So where do you think you're going? So Amar Leh, tachazi diadana tfe minach. So Rav Sheshes says, I'm going to show you that I have greater understanding than you, that I know more than you. So this min was challenging, this heretic was challenging Rav Sheshes, and he called him a broken jug. And he says, where are you going? And Rav Sheshes says, I'm going to show you that I know more than you do. Chalaf gunda kamaisa. The first set of troops passed by. Ki ka'avsha amar leah hu mina. When the noise got louder, the min, this heretic, was trying to trick Rav Sheshes. Asa malka, and he said, the king is coming right now. So amar leah Rav Sheshes lo ka'asi. So Rav Sheshes said, nope, the king isn't coming. So Rav Sheshes knew that the min was trying to trick him, and he said, no, I know that the king's not coming yet. Chalaf gunda tinyasa. The second set of officers, troops came along. Kika Avsha, when it got louder, Amar Leh Ahumina, so this min, this tricky min, he says to Rav Sheshes, Hashta ka asi malka, now the king's coming. Amar Leh Rav Sheshes, lo ka asi malka, I know that the king's not coming. Chalaf tlisai, so the third troops came by, Kika Shaska, but then it was quiet. Amar Leh Rav Sheshes, vadai hashta asi malka. So now I know that the melech is coming, when he heard quiet. So Amar Leh Ahumina, so the min said, Minolach ha. So where do you know this from? So Amar Leh, de Malchusa de Ara, kein Malchusa de Rekia. So the Malchus in this world is like the Malchus of Hashem. So it's kind of what I was explaining before on the Kavod de Malchus. Dichsiv, tsev amata bahar lifnei Hashem. It says, go and stand in the mountain before Hashem. V'inei Hashem avar v'ruch gedola v'chazak mefarek harim. First there was a great wind, destroyed the mountains, v'mishaber slime, destroyed rocks, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem came. Lo beruach Hashem, lo, sorry, lifnei Hashem, lo, beruach Hashem, v'achar ruach ra'ash, oh, so there's no, Hashem wasn't in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, lo berash Hashem, but Hashem wasn't in the earthquake. V'achar ra'ash esh, after the earthquake was fire, lo be'esh Hashem, Hashem was not in the fire. V'achar esh kol demama daka, and then after the fire, there was a very quiet sound. Ki asa malka, so that's when Hashem appeared. Ki asa malka pasach Rav Sheshes v'kam avarech leh. Rav Sheshes made a bracha when he encountered the melech, even though he didn't see the melech. So Rav Sheshes says to the min, I know that the melech comes when there's quiet, because you know that Hashem, when this pasach that he's quoting, Hashem appears in the quiet, so too the malchios in this world reacts the same way the malchios of Hashem reacts. So amar leh ahumina, so the min said to Rav Sheshes, meaning to the person that you can't see, you're blind, you're making a bracha. So Rav Sheshes, he didn't respond, but it says, what happened to this min? That his eyes were gouged out. Others say that Rav Sheshes stared at him and he turned into a pile of bones. Okay, so it's a funny story. I don't want to take up the end of the story about how the guy was punished. But what's the purpose of this story about Rav Sheshes? He was blind, but he still made a bracha for the king. And also, how do we explain the memra before that a person's supposed to run to seek out, to greet even a non-Jewish king? So I think that Rav Sheshes is teaching you an idea that's tied to the point that we were saying before, that the Malchus in this world is just a stepping stone, is a means for us to really appreciate Hashem's Malchus. And because Rav Sheshes, even though he was blind and he didn't see the Melech, but because he was able to glean an insight or experience an idea of Malchus Hashem in this world, and even though we're talking anthropomorphically, but there's still an idea, there's still an experiential component to what Rav Sheshes was involved in, and it gave him insight into the Malchus Hashem. So because of that, he made the bracha. And the whole idea of the bracha is connecting Malchus, kingship in this world, to the kingship of Hashem, and Rav Sheshes was able to experience that not with his sense of sight, but with his understanding and his sense of hearing. So even so, he was zocha to make the shevach, to give the shevach of seeing the king, even though he didn't see him, because he really was able to gain insight into Malchus Hashem through this experience. But the first idea, so why should we run? What's the kiyum, what's the enhancement of running to a non-Jewish king? So this is the last point. I think the last point is that when there's a natural allure to kingship, to royalty, and nowadays, Bizman Azeh, and the royal family, they're always on the cover of all the magazines and the tabloids, and there's an allure to them, and people are, you know, in wonderment of them, and they have a lot of fans. So there's an allure to kingship, and a lot of times it's just superficial, but it exists, and it's natural. People have that. So the idea of running after a king is that a person should identify those emotions, should try to understand, you know, what draws you to this royalty, and understand the difference between a royalty of the Jews, meaning a royalty that's attached to representing Hashem, teaching Torah, a royalty that's well-deserved, versus the allure of royalty. Because the allure of royalty, on the one hand, is a reality. People are drawn to the royal family, and it's natural, and it's normal. And the Gemara is saying you should go and run towards a non-Jewish king, meaning identify, you know, what's drawing you towards there. Don't deny those emotions. Identify it. Give into it. Identify it. But the benefit of identifying it is that you can really analyze, you know, whether or when you see royalty, whether it's real royalty, like the royalty of Melech Mashiach, the idea of a royalty that's deserving, versus just the allure of royalty, just the emotions of royalty that draw the average person in. So that, I think that's the philosophical idea. The philosophical idea is that man should prepare himself or understand what emotions draw him into royalty and be able to distinguish between a true royalty and just the allure, just the superficiality of royalty. Okay, so that's the idea. So one other point, halachically, now we get to the halacha l'maisa, the practical halacha. So I was thinking, the question is, do you make a bracha when you see the president of the United States? So it's machlokas achronim. So if you look in source number 15, the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha. It says, and the Rama brings it down too. It says, Malchi Yisrael Omer, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokim Melech Lam Shecholik Mikvod Eli Reav, like the Gemara, Val Malchi Ovdi Kochavim Omer Baruch Shenasa Mikvod Eli Basar Vedam. So he quotes the Gemara, that you make a bracha on a Jewish king, and you make a bracha on a non-Jewish king. So the Mishnah Berura, who quotes, I think, the Magen Avram, says, Baruch Shenasa Mikvodo, Hashiltonim Shein Ol Melech Aleihem, Lishanos Divrayim, Vidan Vahorig B'Meshpat. So any ruler that it has the ability to be done, to judge and kill somebody, Mevarech Aleihem, you make the bracha for. So it's not just the king, but any ruler that has the ability to execute without the king's permission, so that person deserves a bracha. And then it says, "V'al asarim shememana hamelech b'chol ir v'ir tov v'yasha levarech b'lo shem malchus." And the regular, like the governors or any type of sar, any officer in the city, you should make the bracha, but without shem malchus. Don't say Hashem's name and don't say melech olam in the bracha. So the Magen Avraham brings down an idea which isn't in the Gemara, but he wants to say that what is the idea of malchus? It's the idea of a person having the strength or the power to kill. And so based on this, there's a machlokas achronim, whether the president of the United States deserves the bracha of Malchus. So one side, I think, I don't remember the shitos. I think it's the Shevet HaLevi and the Be'er Moshe. There's two shitos. I'm not sure which one is which. But one shita says that you should make the bracha on the melech, on the president, because even though he doesn't have the ability to kill on his own, he's still recognized as the melech, as the ultimate ruler. He's not just a shilton, he's not just a side ruler underneath the king, but he's the ultimate ruler. But the other side say that because the president doesn't have the ability to, I think it's the Chassam Sofer also holds this way, that because the president can't kill somebody, he doesn't have that. We have court system, we have a court system, and he doesn't have that power, so therefore you shouldn't make the bracha with Shema Malchus, because he doesn't really have the strength, the true strength of Malchus. So it's machlokas achronim whether or not you should make a bracha on the president of the United States with the Shemu Malchus or not. And it's based on the idea of whether Malchus demands the ability to execute, to kill a person on your own or not. Or even if they're the ruler but they don't have that ability, we still recognize them as the ruler and we give kavod to them and we make the bracha. So that's a machlokas over there. So I just wanted to bring that down. It's halacha l'maisa. So just one last point, and then I'll summarize and share. So one last point is that this idea of le'olam yishtadel adam laratz achar malchi yisrael malchi umos olam, the idea we said before that a person should always run towards a non-Jewish king and a Jewish king, and we said that he should identify, you know, which emotions are superficial and which emotions are warranted when it comes to respecting malchius. So there's other gemaras on this. There's a gemara about Rav Zera, it's also in Brachos, and there's another gemara about Rav Elazar ben Sadok, that he jumped over, he was a Kohen, and he jumped over cemeteries, and they want to learn that it was Tumah Midirabbanan, it wasn't Deoraisa, just to see a non-Jewish king, to see Malchus Yisrael, and even Malchus Umos Olam, a Kohen's even allowed to jump over to be Mitame Midirabbanan in order to do that. So there's just a side point. I just wanted to mention that there's other Gemaras that bring down this halacha, this philosophical idea about running to. It's the same statement about running towards Melech Yisrael and Melech Umos Olam. All right. So I just wanted to summarize this year. There's really 2 points here. The main point is the concept of demonstrating kavod to an evil king. So what kind of idea is that? That was our question. He's evil. He kills Jewish children. How could we be commanded, or how could God insist that Moshe demonstrate respect? So then we saw Gemara that there's really two shitas. One side holds no, that Moshe didn't, and the other side holds that Moshe did. So we try to understand the two sides. What are the two sides? So we wanted to say that the Malchus in this world is tied to the Malchus Hashem. And even though they're different, they're qualitatively different, when the way you act towards Malchus in this world affects your perception of Hashem's Malchus intrinsically. And it's difficult for a man to separate the two. Even though God is non-physical and his Malchus is different, but still, one sheds light on the other. Our interaction with Malchus in this world affects our idea of Hashem's Malchus. So Machlokas in the Gemara is whether or not that even occurs or that takes place by an evil king. Do we say that even by an evil king, there's an idea of demonstrating respect? Because if we don't, it'll turn us off to the Malchus Hashem. And sometimes we experience negative things from God, and we still have to withstand that negativity and understand that God is Melech. So the same way, when we see an evil king, we have to recognize that even if it might not be just, or we might not perceive it as just, we still have to demonstrate Malchus so that in the face of Hashem's Malchus, we're consistent. Or do we say no, that there's a difference, that Hashem's Malchus is qualitatively distinct, and man is able, in the case of an evil king, to differentiate it. He can disrespect an evil king, and it not affect his ability to respect Hashem properly, and understand Hashem's Malchus properly. So that's the first idea, and then we saw that story of Rav Sheshes, which really ties in, that Rav Sheshes was able to utilize an experiential situation in terms of understanding Hashem's Malchus from that story. And then the last point is that a man should always try to recognize or accept the emotions that he has towards respecting Malchus, but also understand that there's two elements of Malchus. There's a superficial Malchus, that's the Malchus of the Umos Olam, the royal family, where maybe they might be evil people inside, but there's a superficiality. And then there's the Malchus of the true kings, the Melech HaMashiach, the Malchus where the person is really in line with what the purpose of a Melech is. So a person should run towards both, because you have to be able to distinguish between the emotions and the superficial, the artificial, and the real need and the real desire to respect somebody who deserves that. And then the last point was just the machlokes achronim about the president, whether or not you're chayv to make a bracha on the president of the United States. So there's two ways to go. All right? Anybody have any questions? All right.